Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it, go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans. Hey, Berlu.
What's up there, Scotty?
Nothing got to talk about a new sponsor, and our latest sponsor been sponsoring us for the last month or two.
Ooh.
And we could not be happier
Impossible.
To work with him because it is going down. Hopefully there's a comedy show coming out of this. The
Ooh.
Wolf Nation. Wolf Nation. W-U-L-F Nation. Michael Berlu.
I'll tell you one thing. That'll be the most stylish comedy show ever.
All right. Let's see. Let's see if you picked up on what W-U-L-F stands for. All right. Here we go.
All right. Wake.
Yes.
Up.
Yes.
Live.
Yes.
Free.
Wake up, live free. Because you know what, Berlu? That's what a wolf does.
Yeah, he would.
Wolf does. And when Richard came on before, he told us that, like, when you were poor and you were in the struggle and you were just growing a beard because you couldn't shave, you were wolfing it.
Ah, that's passionate, man.
Wolfing it. You were just wolfing it. And now he's embraced it and he's making a great brand. Wolf Nation. Wolf Nation. The website's coming out. Wolf Nation. Instagram. Wolf Nation. Twitter. Wolf Nation. Facebook. Wolf Nation. And it's just freaking awesome to have him as a partner. And I suggest you check it out. He has a couple different lines coming out. He's got some nice sporty kind of apparel, but he's also going to have some designer kind of gear, things you can dress
nice.
Up on, go to the parties, freaking get your little wolfettes all over you.
Ooh. I'm going to party.
Wolfettes. But W-U-L-F, wake up, live free. Ow! Check out Wolf Nation, people.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
So what happened last week, Scott?
I don't really want to talk about it, buddy. My beloved Mets are gone. They're gone.
One step from the top.
The playoffs are over. The dream run is over. The Royals are victorious.
You play a team for a minor league.
Yes, friends, yes.
Wow.
We are.
He really had no confidence in the Royal Sun.
No, that was actually a clip from a long time ago about some other team. But
Phillies?
Yeah, probably. Probably. So
St. Louis takes a 3-1 ninth inning game 7 lead.
Oh, I hated that memory too.
So far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Anyway, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. I am happy to be back for the most part. My Mets are over, but I gotta give it up to them. They there's a run I never imagined. You know, if they sneaked into the second wild card, I would have been happy. If they even if, to be honest, at the beginning of the season, even if they like finished over 500, I kind of would have been happy.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it at the beginning of the season. I kind of predicted them to be a good contender for a second wild card, maybe even grab a series with that pitching. But
yep.
I don't think I can even say I don't even think the Mets figured they were going to be in the World Series contending for it.
No. It is what it is. I mean, they're set up for the future. I mean, if they make the right moves, maybe some defense, a little speed, you know, maybe, you know, re-sign some guys. I think the pitching staff's there, and that's all you can ask for as the future. That, you know, you have potential four studs plus Zach Wheeler coming back, so can't be too upset. But it is upsetting.
Well, it is run by the Wilpon, so.
That's my biggest fear is they get all this playoff money, and they're like, we're going to cut
stockade
everyone.
Yeah.
We're not going to re-sign anyone. Or here's the same guys we rolled out last year.
Yo, the Marlins are going to give us a great single-A player for Harvey.
He makes $600,000. The single-A guy makes $150,000. Savings! But I'm very happy to be back, Mike. We have should have a fun guest on tonight.
Yeah.
Someone that has been like 40 years of show business, basically.
Yeah, basically, if you turn on your TV, you probably saw this guy or heard him.
Somewhere along the line, you know, somewhere. His voice was probably on my screen for my TV screen for probably 3 or 4 years there as a kid. I played Ninja Turtles 1 over and over and over. It was like my movie. As like, it was right in my wheelhouse. That was right when I grew up, when the Ninja Turtles came out and hit big. And the first movie is the one I watched over and over again. And our guest today, his name is Robbie Rist. He's the voice of Michelangelo.
Yeah, I mean, the first movie, I mean, that was an amazing movie. It's almost underrated because it was such a good balance of, like, you know, for the kids who like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but still had like an adult vibe to the movie.
Yeah, that April O'Neil.
And then Michael Bay stepped in there.
Yeah, well, I didn't even see that one. Did you see it? Is it terrible?
I haven't seen it, but it's pretty much everything everybody predicted.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to be good. I don't plan on seeing. Does he have like a franchise with that, or are there more coming out, or is it just a one and done?
Yeah, no. The second one, he might actually get this part right, which they screwed up with the original movies. For what I hear, he's going to have Bebop and
Rocksteady,
and I'm not sure if Krang is supposed to be in this one or in a future one.
Krang, the brain inside the weird robot's stomach.
Damn you, Ninja Turtles!
But I was thinking, like, that was, like, my go-to. Ninja Turtles were my biggest thing. My brother was, like, He-Man and Ghostbusters. They were, like, right before Ninja Turtles.
The real Ghostbusters.
What was your, like, childhood, like, go-to? Like, your number one, maybe, cartoon?
Transformers, I would say. That was my big one growing up. They also had one that's kind of been forgotten called Mask, which is almost like a...
I don't know that one.
It's basically... The brilliant premise behind it is that they had these vehicles that could turn into other things, almost like miniature Transformers.
Like GoBots?
No, it wasn't like that, but like it'd be like this guy would be driving like a Ferrari, and then the doors would pop up, and then it would be a jet.
Ooh. So that was like your go-to. That was your, that was in your wheelhouse.
Those two were my go-tos, yeah. I would say.
I had Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles. I had a lot of G.I. Joe toys. Never really watched G.I. Joe that much.
Never watched it. I thought the blonde guy was named G.I. Joe. And like every time my buddy would like yell at me, he's like, let's play G.I. Joe. All right, I'll be G.I. Joe. No, that's not his name. Don't call him that.
I'm G.I. Joe.
That's an organization.
The organization. That's what he belongs to. Yeah, those were, it had me thinking about a lot of things. Like those, that was probably my childhood was Ninja Turtles growing up. I remember me and my female cousin, Kara, we would pretend that we were Michelangelo, and we both liked him so much that we were just both Michelangelo when we played.
So Splinter just cloned him.
Yeah.
He got some more of the ooze.
More ooze.
And he just put it on him and just spurred it into a second one.
Now Ninja Turtles 1, Corey Feldman was what, Donatello? One of them was somebody.
Yeah, he was one of them, for what I recall. I thought he was Michelangelo before we got Fuck Robbie.
Let's find out. Let's find out. Ninja Turtles.
I know, Obi.
Ninja Turtles. There's a lot of stuff that pops up when you type.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different.
They've had a lot of recent cartoons. In fact, Robbie's was like a new voice in one of the newer ones that's on Nickelodeon now.
Yeah, he was a voice of Mondo Gecko, who was like a crazy like gecko. They were like the turtles, but they were like their buddies.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the original. Like,
and he sells car insurance.
Oh, good. I can't find it right now, but Ninja Turtle 1990. Here we go.
Nobody can find Corey Feldman nowadays.
Okay. So, Raphael voice, Leonardo. Corey Feldman was Donatello's voice.
Hmm.
It was Donatello's voice, the smart turtle, as they say. I think everyone's favorite turtle was Michelangelo. Let's be serious.
Yeah,
he was the party dude.
He was fun. He was the one who got all the wacky pizzas.
He had the wacky sayings, the whole cowabunga, you know, that's all Michelangelo. Yeah, but I was thinking today, I was talking with a coworker. We're talking about like some things that were really big when I was a kid. Now you're a little older than me. Do you remember Pogs? When Pogs?
Yes, I do.
For whatever reason, Pogs just like took off out of nowhere, and it really made no sense. It was like these cardboard circles.
Yeah, it was.
That you hit with a slammer, and you had to flip a certain amount, and that was kind of it. But no one really played the game. They more just collected Pogs.
Them. It was almost like baseball cards on poker chips.
Yes, and I just remember like the O.J. Simpson slammers. Like that was the big one. It was O.J. in the slammer. That was the joke on it. And I remember I went to a Pog tournament with my friend and actually won like second place. And I don't even remember how to really play the game. I know you slam the pile and like that you have to flip a certain amount of like Pogs and then they become yours and you kind of eliminate them. So I remember
that really makes sense.
I had like a Pog book. It like originated in like Hawaii. And it was called Milk Caps. Yeah, that was a pretty big nerd for like 3 months there.
Nice.
Oh, Obi's jumping back up.
Hey, Obi.
Yeah, Pogs were a big thing. Right in that era, that like late elementary school, like that third, fourth, fifth grade era. And I told you on the last podcast that I remember drawing a Ninja Turtle ghost and getting ripped off, and I was really pissed off. I was like crying about it.
There's 15 Michelangelos. Everybody knows there's only two.
What was it? What was a big thing for you growing up? What was something you were into?
I'm trying to, baseball cards were the thing.
Baseball
back
cards.
In my,
yeah. I have crates of them sitting in my mom's house somewhere.
I was in my closet the other day. See a pile of them. It's like the so sad thing was
you spend a lot of time in that closet.
Yeah, you know, one of these days he'll come out. And, you know. But it's just so sad. You look at them, you're like, I mean, they're so old. And just remember, like Mike West, and you gotta buy all these. I got a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
Be dialing.
Like nobody. It's almost like a joke that Topps is still around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people just like buy the sets, like the collectors still just buy the whole set. Like packs, I don't think exist anymore. Like I mean, I'm sure they do, but like packs of cards.
Yeah, I'm trying.
He's like straight up like hugging you.
Yeah, I know. He's so excited. Hey, yo, buddy.
So yeah, packs of cards. I don't think exist.
Let's see, Garbage Pail Kids were big, but I thought they were disgusting.
Mm-hmm. You said you were turned off by the Garbage Pail Kids.
I almost like every time like somebody would show me one, I almost want to vomit because they were just so disgusting. And I'm like an 8-year old. I'm like, ew.
Hey Mike, check out Sally Snakes. Let's bring a few of them up. Let's see if it still gets the same reaction.
All right, that sounds fair.
Garbage Pail. Oh, there's a Garbage Pail Kids movie.
I told you about that.
Oh, well, sorry.
You should be.
All right. Well, here's Adam Bomb. He's a kid sitting on the back, and he's blowing up. Is that how's that? How's your stomach doing?
Well, it's fine for Adam Bomb.
So, I guess it's like the re-release of Adam. Oh, here we go. Here's Handy Randy. Handy Randy is sticking his hand through his head. Getting a little queasy.
No reaction.
Getting a little queasy.
I don't know.
Okay. That can't be real. Cosplay Cody. Oh, Frigid Bridget. There's one for you, Mike. She's frozen.
Oh. Shame.
What about Drippy Dan? He's a little gross. He's a baby with
holes. He's kind of like far away, so it's hard to get like the full reaction.
Well, he is a baby with holes in him, and he's drinking, and his milk is going through his body.
Let me pull. What's the sign?
I don't know. I just typed in Garbage Pail Kids in Google. Oh, and then how can we forget Potty Scotty? He's in the toilet.
Come on. My computer's low.
Yeah, it's probably the website's probably blocked, so you never have to see it. I can't deal with those Garbage Pail Kids.
Listen, I need you to make an update on the firewall. Anybody who goes to Garbage Pail Kids, shut down the computer.
Oh, Itchy Richie, yeah, he's pretty gross, Mike. He's a baby with ants all over him. Ants.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up now so I can get a close look to give you an idea.
I think I'm on this one.
Okay.
That's Cosplay Carl or whatever his name is.
Right.
Ooh, Art Apart. She's all apart, or he's all apart.
Like, none of these are, like, toilet or booger or stuff like that. I mean, those are ones that are kind of...
So you can handle
Well, Acne this. Amy, if you go down to that one.
Ooh, what about Bony Tony? He's unzippering himself, and he's a skeleton.
Yucky Mikey, that's pretty gross. He's eating eyeballs here.
Armpit Brit, she's got armpit hair.
Like, that's a... Yak Splat. I mean, that's kind of gross. Like, these three right here.
Oh, Barfin Barbara. She's puking into a pot and cooking it.
Yeah. There you go. That's one.
That's one that makes your skin crawl.
I don't even look at it. But...
Acme Amy. Yeah, she's got bad acne. So, yeah. So, Garbage Pail Kids got you. You weren't really into them. What else?
I thought they were
Other
nice.
Than Dukes of Hazzard. We know you.
Yeah, I'm trying to... like when I was young, I'd like big wheels.
Big wheels.
You ever have those?
Yeah, actually, my brother broke my big wheel.
Oh, really?
You know, like the driving wheel. It around and he sat on the front and broke the wheel off, and I was really pissed off for quite a few days. I cried a lot about it.
I thought I was like the man, just like driving through like the neighborhood in my big wheel, and like I remember. Like, one of the girls in the neighborhood came up to me and said, hey, your mom's calling for you.
Your
and
mom like, drives a big wheel. Hey, shut up!
But I remember, I'm like, all right, I'm going to head down there. I'll race you to there. And she just, like, takes off running, and it takes, like, 5 minutes for those plastic wheels to get any kind of tread.
The thing he's leaving out is this happened in high school.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
I had my own parking spot. I thought it was the man.
Yeah. All right. We'll get back to some nostalgia talk after we try to contact Ruby Wrist. Okay, so we don't have Robbie on yet, but I'm very confident we will. So we were just talking about your big wheel. Yeah, my brother broke my big wheel. I was always envious of kids who had power wheels, though. Mm. The battery-operated like cars that you drive around. Mm-hmm. Power wheels. I never had one of them, or even came close to being able to have one.
I had a go-kart growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Like a fast one?
Oh, yeah. It was a decent one. I'm not sure if I told the story on the podcast, but my dad took me, my brother, and my sister up to his work. At that time, they were off on the weekends, and they had this like big, long driveway up a hill to where the tractor trailers would pull in. And basically what my dad would do is we had two go-karts, my brother and sister. My sister's 10 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's not 8 years older than me, so they could do solo runs with a single car one. And then what my dad would do, he would drive for a while, and he would let me drive the go-kart with him in the driver's seat for a while. And one time, the day was going along, my dad wanted to show us some stuff about the tractor trailers, like show like some of the signs on there, some of the stuff like hazardous signs, whatever. And I was getting bored because I'm a 5-year-old kid, and he's showing me hazard signs.
Okay.
I'm like, hey pops, can I drive the go-kart? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. So in his mind, he thought I meant, hey, can I go drive it with you by my side?
Right.
I did not get that kind of signal. So go-kart was still running. I jump in it, and I just take off.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I'm a 5-year-old kid. I'm having a time of my life. I know the route directly, and I did it correctly, whatever. Little did I know, basically behind me is my dad running like an Olympic sprinter trying to catch me.
And you're just like, ah!
Yeah. I mean, the big thing was, his concern was, if I don't make the right-hand turn, I'm in the middle of a highway.
Oh, nice.
So all we could think about was pretty much, all right, what do I tell the wife when I get home?
Really sucks.
Honey, we really only wanted two kids, you know?
It sucks you made that right-hand turn. Damn it. So close.
He gave me a map and everything. Stay straight.
Straight, Michael. Straight. You're going to see a road. Just keep going.
Some cars are going to come. You can beat them.
You're fat. Where'd you ride it? Like in the streets at all? Or like in these back, in like the woods?
Well, we also did it in the woods a lot of times. Like we would have these different paths. Like it would be just a weekend thing. Like all the family would go out. We'd have like 3 or 4 go-karts, and we would just zoom in the woods, just exploring. I remember one time we were in the woods, and I guess we came across a trail, and this woman was riding a horse, and she had her big dog with her. I forget what kind of brand.
That's a horse, Mike. That's a horse.
No, there was a horse separate from said dog.
She was riding a really big dog.
Like, that thing is so cute. How do you potty train that thing?
That thing, they're a big puppy.
How does he sit on a cow? So we're chatting away with a woman for a little while, and my dad's like, all right, we're going to head out. So, you know, he blasts the go-kart, and the dog thinks it's kind of a game. So this dog is chasing us at full speed, and this is like a humongous dog. And I'm just laughing my ass off because I'm laughing. Ha ha, dad, look, the cute puppy's chasing us. He's looking over. He's seeing the dog showing its teeth.
Nice.
And again, unfortunately,
what
the
kind
dog
of dog was it,
me.
Michael? A Clydesdale.
I love those Budweiser puppies.
Yeah, I think I'm very glad that I grew up when I did. I was just talking about this today, too. Very happy I grew up before the computer was like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like I grew up, I would say we probably got our first computer maybe when I was like 10, 11, something like that. And it was never like a tool to do anything. It basically had a couple games on it, and it was like in our living room actually. And it was just kind of like, hey, play a couple games. So I grew up, you know, outside on my bike all the time. It's funny, like, I remember you just jotted my memory. I remember, like, there was this wooded path down by my house, and we actually, like, made, like, a clubhouse in it. It was, like, the woods, so we, like, carved out, like, an area in trees, and we would, like, it's funny, like, how we would, like, go and, like, just find, like, junk around the neighborhood and be like, oh, yeah, it's part of our clubhouse. We can sit on this bucket, you know, like, We found like pallets and brought them in to like sit on. And there was always like the sketchiest people back there, like definitely doing crack. And like, because we'd always find like, you know, crushed glass and things like that. And, but like, I would never wager. Like, I feel bad for the kids now, like, as far as like, it's all like the computer and the video games. And I feel like we grew up in a good time where at least we saw the beginning of it, kind of where it went, and now where it is now, which is ridiculous. Yeah. And there's good parts of it, of course, but I do like miss those days of no access to everything all the time, like where you actually had to find something to do.
Yeah, you know? Actual freedom, yeah. Actual thought process.
Yeah, like go play, go figure something out, go outside, and
what do you do? I don't know. See that stick? Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Play a game with it. Yeah. Stab a friend with it. I don't know. And I just remember all these different things. Like, we used to go hang out there. And I know I told this story in the podcast, but in this, in our little clubhouse area, our little woods area, that's where we found a box of kittens. And
me and my, use it as a chair.
No, we sit on the kittens, man. We call the kitten kids. And
let me take a load off.
So we get this box of kittens now. Me and my buddy Alex, we take the box of kittens. Now, my mom hates cats, and like his mom already had a cat. We take a box of kittens to the vet, and we were like so proud that we. Now, the vet was even like, oh, you guys can't like take them. Like, what are we going to do with them? Like, all right, I guess we'll take them. And like, we went back home so proud, and we like told our parents, like, we saved these kittens, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, no.
Ma, call the newspaper.
And you're like,
this is going to be big news tomorrow. I'm going to be in the paper.
Yeah. It's,
you know what's weird? I'm not sure if I told you. Like, one time I was driving home, and there was this, I think it's like a Rottweiler. It was a loose dog. It was running around the neighborhood. It was running in the middle of the road, so I stopped. It was a back road, so it wasn't.
I was just going to say to you, one thing you don't see anymore is dogs roaming around. You used to see dogs like roaming around the neighborhood. Oh, you're like, yeah. that's the dog.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I had that growing up.
Yep. Never see that anymore. If you see it, it's like, call animal control. You know, like,
it's got rabies. It has to be. Yep. Why? It's not on a leash.
You never, ever see dogs.
They can't survive.
Dogs used to just roam around.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's even weird to think about now. Like, imagine Obi just, like, rolling around the neighborhood and be like, oh, see you later, pal. Have a good day.
But I found this. It was running in the street, so I stopped and finally got a hold of it. It was running around. Like, it thought it was playing with me, so every time it got close, it did the whole sprint and make you come after me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it got in the car, and the dog had, like, a shock collar on it, but it didn't have, like, a regular information.
Okay.
So I drove it to the most local police station because I didn't know what the number for animal control.
You turned the dog in.
Well, I came into the police
station. It was a black dog.
Well, I mean, can't be too careful, man. Black dog lives matter, you know. But I bring it and they're like, all right, we'll call the animal control. And they come back out, the cops, and the first question is like, do you just want to keep the dog? I'm like, there's a shock collar on it. I'm pretty sure there's an owner involved with this.
Do you want it? I don't want to do the paperwork.
Isn't that legally stealing you're asking me to do? It's just the weirdest thing.
You want the dog? We got a prisoner in the back, too. No one's claimed in days. You got an extra bed. Hey, will you pay rent? Yeah, you want a roommate?
Hey, I promise I won't kill you. I promise.
You want this dog? We got a prisoner, and you got food.
I got a full house. I got a puppy and a rapist.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I don't see a lot of kids out on bikes. I don't see a lot of kids out on just walking around. I don't.
You'll never riding on the streets.
You never see an unorganized game of like baseball. Especially not baseball. I don't think I've seen an unorganized game like just a bunch of kids going down the park and starting a game in ages. I can't even remember. Basketball you still see from time to time, kids playing basketball. Soccer here and there, but you never see like, hey, we got 10 kids. We'll play baseball. We used to play where we used half the field. We might have talked about this before, but you know, if you had 10 kids, you play half the field, so you had to pull it to like the right side. Mm-hmm. And if you went to the left side, it was out. It was an out. You never see that. You never.
Hell, I remember times playing games with only like four people where like if you were on second and two people got out, it's like, all right, imaginary guy on second.
Yep.
You hit a single. All right, he's at third. You don't see it anymore.
I mean, we even, us idiots, we had our backyard wrestling federation. We had a we had our first event at the park, and the cops came by, and we had a kid, like one of these goth kids we hung out with, was like playing like corn music while we were wrestling. Was like, you know, it's so stupid. We were jumping off the backstop, and we had like fake blood packets. I remember my sister came, and she ran home because she thought I was really bleeding. We made a ring out of like pieces of wood and rope, and the cops like never said anything. They're like, be careful, you know, and they did come by like, eh. Just be careful,
you know, be home by dark.
You'll never see that ever again. I don't think, not the way we are now. It's like these kids are pretty much microchipped at this point.
I mean, it's weird how much safety changed. Like, it's a subject I kind of wanted to bring up. You kind of notice how the streets are now more owned by people who cross the street than the cars itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the most amazing thing. Like, I remember as a kid, my dad, I mean, that was like the first thing he would teach you, like get mad at you. Hey, you look both ways, you make sure nothing's coming, and only then
in your you case, he was like, just look right. Just look right and go. You never look
cool. Damn it! He's like a little frogger.
He never dies.
But it's just so amazing nowadays.
What do we do before we cross the street? Close our eyes, Dad.
Run really fast and play.
I know, Dad. Close your eyes and walk slow.
But I mean, I just notice how, like, now all the laws say if somebody's attempting to cross the street, even if you're just going regular speed and they're, you know, they're just crossing the middle of the street, it's you gotta slam on your brakes and stop, and everybody has to wait for this person. I just don't get it. The roads are made for the cars. I don't get why it's not understood.
What's with all these school buses?
No, this I'm time not going of year. In that.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's a classic.
Raid. It's just
it's going to work in Los Angeles. Carlin.
There's Carlin's, what is it, 7 Dirty Words or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's Michael Berlow's bus. Yeah. They're you can't even pick one. You can't.
No.
You know, some of those Eddie
Murphy tried to steal it from me. I'm like,
Eddie
on,
Murphy's hey. Ice Cream Man. Not even close.
Not as close as the bus.
I mean, I hate to sound like old, like curmudgeons, like, oh, times have changed, blah, blah, blah. But it really has, as far as like kids playing. Like, now it's like all play dates. And
yeah.
First off, if my son says, can I have a play date? It's like, ooh. What happened to this?
You're my son? Wait a minute.
Go play.
When that happened?
Just go play. Just go knock on the door and say, is Tommy home? And go play.
That was the thing as a kid. Hey, new neighbors. You got a kid?
Did I ever tell the story about my... I found out that my mom was racist many years later.
I think you told me that one, no. Yeah.
I don't know if I told it on here, but...
I think you did. You talked about and what he couldn't drink from the hose, was it?
No,
was
I...
It,
well,
you weren't allowed to drink.
Me and my friend Brett, my friend Brett was black. He was the one who also smashed my teeth out of my mouth mm-hmm. and landed on my head playing basketball. Go figure.
good job, Larry Bird.
And we had a pool in my backyard, you know, 4 foot above ground pool,
mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy. And we used to go swimming all the time, like me, my buddy Alex, occasionally some other people go swimming. Every time Brett asked to go swimming, my mom would be like, no, maybe not today, maybe another day. And I'm like... Why, Mom?
It's 102 degrees, Mrs. Brennan.
It's hot. It's hot. Well, you know, like, maybe you guys should go out on your bikes or something like that. And, whatever. So, and then at the time, my friend Brent, I would go to his place, and we'd ride around bikes and stop at each other's houses and stuff like that. And we were never allowed to come inside. And it'd be, again, it would be like 100 degrees. It'd be like, oh man, I'm thirsty. And he'd go inside and get like a drink. And he'd be like, well, we got the hose over there. And we'd be like, all right, I guess we'll drink from the hose. And we'd drink from the hose. And it was no problem. Years later, I'm like, Mom, you know, like when they were just talking at like the table, I'm like, you know, you never let Brett go swimming ever, you know. And she would always be like, yeah, insurance reasons, the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what was with that? She's like, well, you know, like, I was nervous that, like, black people don't know how to swim. And
black people don't know how to swim in 4-foot pools.
And that, you know, like, we own a pool and it would be our fault and stuff like that. And we don't want any problems. I'm like, wow, you are extremely racist.
Like the, in the cross-examination. So you notice he was black and you let him in.
Yep. This is your fault, ma'am. But then it turned out his mom didn't like white people, so we had to drink from the hose. That's why we were never allowed in. So we were like united through racism there.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. But we also had like this Indian friend. He couldn't swim at all, but he would want to come in the pool all the time. But me and my friend Alex would pretend that there was a deep end in the pool. Mm-hmm. Like we'd be like, We'd go by the sides and be like, stand up, and then go towards the middle and be like pretend we were treading water. Like, oh, it's deep here. It's deep here. And he like completely believed it, would never come in the pool because he couldn't swim. We were dicks.
I don't get that, not being able to swim. How hard can it be to figure out?
I don't know. It's like I taught swim lessons for like 10 years. And it's like, I always found the funniest thing was, like, I had to teach adult swim lessons a lot, too, which is awful.
Oh, like the cartoon series.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would teach, there was a lot of, like, Indian women that wouldn't be able to swim and Indian men. And, you know, that some of them would come in like, their garb, like, their full, yeah. like, I don't know what you call it. It wasn't a bathing suit. It was very baggy.
Indian traditional. Yeah.
Like, I don't know, sari or something like that, or beanie.
Let's call it Ritu.
Okay. Ritu! What do they call them things those Indians swim in?
Ask it exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. And they would just, like, sink because the fabric would just drag them down. But the best thing is they would always ask me, like, how do you float? Like, how do I learn to float? And I would just, like, get them on their back and be like, well, you just kind of just stay there. And then they would just start sinking, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was funny is I could never float well. Mm-hmm. Like, I could swim with the best of them, but I can never float well. So I always, like, would float and then kind of, like, cheat and, like, keep my hands moving a little bit. Yeah. I was never a good floater, but they would just sink, like, they would just sink like rocks. Like, I'd be like, practice floating or practice kicking, and then they start sinking, and they would never think to like put their feet down. They'd go in these full like thrashing, like, like, oh my God, I'm drowning. I'm like, just put your feet down. Put your feet down. Just put them down. You know, and like, they would not realize that if they stand up, they don't drown. So, like,
another Indian died in 3 foot of water today.
4 foot of water, and they're freaking out, like, and they don't realize that they have to put their feet down to just stand up. So, all right.
All right, hold on a second here. Hold on.
Yes, yes.
Headphones. Well, we got this far.
Wow.
I know, it's amazing.
Is this Robbie Wrist?
Yes, it is.
Wow, there you are.
Yes, indeed. Hello, gentlemen. Sorry that it's taken so long. My life is complex.
Well, it is a pleasure to finally get you on this little podcast here.
Indeed. What are we talking about? What are we doing? What is this thing called?
Oh, well, this is called Verbal Shenanigans.
Ah, Verbal Shenanigans. Right, of course it is. You mean like the Twitter handle?
Yes, like the Twitter handle. It is the name of the show.
And the name of the show. I get it, right? Yeah. Okay.
And
keep going.
It's basically a
tattoo on my back.
Yeah, yeah. The tattoo on the swell of my back. And
I mean, I could research, but then why would I do that?
What's the fun at? No. So what's basically what we do is
we're a cooking show.
Yeah, we're a cooking.
Okay, perfect.
But we are, we're just like, we're two comedians, and we try to like get people on who are just like very passionate about their craft. We've had some athletes on. We had a guy who was attacked by a hippo. We had We have,
wait a minute. Why am I even on this show? You'll never top the hippo guy.
It's a down week. It's a down week.
We had a place that sells poo.
We had a place that sells poo for a living. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Well, I can see that for fertilizer and stuff, unless it's human poo.
No, human poo. Yes.
It's a stool bank
for research.
Oh, right on. Sure, I guess that would be another good way to do it. Sure.
Well, we were just talking before we actually got you on, and even just hearing your voice now, your voice was representative of what was probably on my television for about 4 or 5 years straight, maybe once a week. And that's the Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay. Yeah, sure, sure. Well, how? By the way, before we go any further, how old were you when this was going on?
Well, let's see. I was born in 84.
Right. So you were like 10 or 11 or something.
Yeah, right in my...
Oh, no, that's okay then.
Right. Right in my wheelhouse.
If it's something you did as an adult, we'd have to have a discussion.
Well, you know, you did it as an adult.
Well, but I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it once a week for 3 years.
Listen to my voice. No. This is awesome.
And the only excuse to do it as an adult is that if you have a kid and they want to watch it once a week.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah. I would do that right now. But I mean, you like
let's go adopt a kid and go watch Ninja Turtles.
The first Ninja Turtle movie was, like I said, a big staple of my childhood. Big time staple of my childhood. It was what I thought was a. Not only was it like, you know, hey, the Ninja Turtles coming onto screen, I thought it was actually a really good movie, and it still kind of holds up a little bit.
I go to a couple of screenings a year of, you know, people ask me to come and talk at it or whatever. But so I've seen it a few times in the last few years, and it totally holds up. I think it's a really great kids movie.
Yeah, and it's got like a good mix to it, though. It's got the humor. Yeah. It does actually have like kind of a deep side. Game. Like,
yeah, and the jokes are such that any adult that's sitting in the audience will not want to injure anyone.
well, I did want to fight Shredder, but let's go back a little bit before we kind of get into that. Now I brought up your IMDb when I was looking to try to get you on.
Yeah, which time?
Yeah, you know, the last like 9 weeks that we've been trying.
Right, sure. It's a process.
We got our staff. They're out every day, and all they're questioning people about Robbie Riss. You know, we're prepared.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But your IMDb goes back, I would say, what, 40 years? You've been in the business for a long time now.
Yeah, since I think 71 or 72, something like that.
So, I mean, I guess we got to start at one of your most.
I guess you guys don't have to look at me. We'll just do this over the phone. There we go.
Yeah. Right. Well, we were enjoying looking at you eating chips.
I want to pick my nose, but I can't.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah. But anyway, that's better. It helps the audio quality out a little bit. Yeah. Anyway. But you go back, and we got to bring up the Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how old were you at this time?
9.
9 years old. Okay. Yeah. And how the hell did you get on? Now, was the Brady Bunch established when you got on?
It was on its last legs. I mean, it was it was canceled 6 weeks after I joined the cast.
Wow. So look what you did.
Robert
Reed is in the streets right now.
If you believe that a 9-year-old child has the power to bring down a television dynasty, I salute you, sir.
So you played Cousin Oliver.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I was supposed to be part of another show that they were going to do a spinoff, and I was wrong for the part. And I guess when they had this one, they brought me in again. And I mean, they had a boatload of kids read for it, but you know, I won it, and so here we are, 40 years later, talking about it. It's crazy.
It is unbelievable. What was the experience like?
Oh, you know, I mean, I'd already been working for like, you know, 3 years or something at that point, so like. You know, it was just another job. It really didn't get weird until after the show was off the air for a bunch of years and it went into syndication. Because, you know, it was on 3 times a day. And so there were people that saw these episodes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, you know. And it sort of became kind of part of the, you know, it became part of the fabric of our culture in a way. I mean, you know, there's still... I mean, I've been to foreign countries and people have seen it. I even recently... got recognized from the show by somebody who was like 11.
Wow.
So like, you know, there's still people out there watching it. And, you know, I think there's sort of a universal theme of, you know, a lot of those episodes are moral stories, you know, don't lie, whatever. And I think the things are so universal that, you know, young people still respond to it.
Now, how did, like, when you got into, like, acting stuff, was this pushed by your parents or was...
No. The story goes that I bitched him into it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, whether it's true or not, you know, it sure makes a hell of a story. But apparently, you know, I mean, I was putting on plays for the cat. You know, I was, you know, I was taking records to school and miming to them. I was a show off at a very early age, and I was, you know, my parents had a piano in the house. I couldn't play, but I'd get up every morning and beat on the thing for like a half hour, which, you know, my mom is not the most sane person to begin with. That must have just driven her over the edge. Just boom. So, yeah. So, I mean, I was always performing, and then I said, hey, I want to be in a monster movie. And then that became, hey, I want to be in a movie. And my parents said, we'll take him on an audition and he'll see how boring it is and he won't want to do it. And I picked up my first audition and then I picked up the next like six in a row. And by then my parents were stuck. They couldn't pull me out without causing me great psychological damage. And we don't want that now, do we?
No. None of us here have any psychological damage.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my parents.
Oh, I'm not saying I didn't get psychologically damaged later. That was just at that particular time.
I was just about to say, you know, I asked my parents for an ice cream cone. They gave me broccoli. He asked for an acting career, and he's on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah,
you know, there you go. Actually, the funny thing is, though, you know, at least you're, you know, you didn't have to fight your mom for it. You know, I was like, I want to be in a movie. No, you don't. No, really, I want to be in a movie. No, but you don't. No, but I do. No, you don't. Like, you want to be an accountant. No, but I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. And it went like that for, I don't know, up until, like, I think yesterday afternoon.
Now, the important question I have to ask you was, why wasn't Cousin Oliver in the Brady Bunch Variety Hour?
Because I think the producers don't look at the character as being part of the show.
What?
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Oh, I don't know. Not necessarily. It wasn't their idea to have the character in the show in the first place. I believe it was a network decision. And I think because of that, you know, they're like, I don't think he's part of the cast. And I'm, you know, I'm totally fine with that. I mean, they were still talking about it. And the funny thing is, you know, I can talk about it in such a way as to be somewhat of an outsider.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not really a cast member. I mean, you know, I was on the show, whatever, you know, and I know them. But, you know, when it actually comes to, you know, if I want to bag on the Brady Bunch, you know, I can because, you know, who fucking cares about him? Douchebag.
I don't know what was better, the Variety Hour or in the 90s when they tried to do a drama series with the Bradys.
I'm producing two songs for Fake Jan's new album.
Nice.
Yeah. Fake Jan's new album. Is that what it's called?
I hope so.
It should be.
Yeah. Jerry Reichel is her name, and she's awesome. She's a great singer, and she's been doing it forever. She was doing it, you know, back when we were kids. And so she's Fake Jan in the Variety Hour. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm doing some songs with her even now. I don't know how we ended up on that. Oh, talking about the Variety Hour and why Oliver wasn't on it. Right. Now, I guess one Fake Jan was enough.
Now you go from something like the Brady Bunch and obviously that was only the beginning. And as a child, what is it like trying to go to school and try to get into acting at the same time?
It's developmentally kind of an interesting way to go about it because you spend probably one third of the time you would with kids that outside of a kid who doesn't go into entertainment stuff. And that means also you spend two thirds of your time with adults. And so when you're around kids for a long time, you're like, well, yeah, I like hanging out with these people, but they're a little naive. You know, you can't help it because you're around adults all the time. So that continues today. I have a terrible time talking to children. I don't understand them at all. I mean, I'm like, speak proper English. God, what is wrong with you?
He's one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was working at six. So I always have that.
Make your earning.
Thank God I never had children.
So you know, going through your career here, it's all sorts of things. What was like the next bit? I mean, I see you were on Mary Tyler Moore for a while.
Yeah, did that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I did a lot. I mean, I did a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't know. My IMDb is not really complete.
Really?
There's a whole bunch of stuff that's missing. But I mean, they were all just like one-off, you know, series that ran for 6 weeks and crap like that. You know, I was on this great show with Dennis Dugan, who was, well, he started out as, they were going to do a spinoff of the Rockford Files called Richie Brockelman, Private Eye. And Dennis was Richie Brockelman. He's really funny, really great. And then later on, he was in a television show called Shadow Chasers, which was a paranormal comedy show. And then after that, he directed Happy Gilmore.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and the problem child movies. And yeah, sometimes I look at other people's career trajectories and I get a little sad.
I mean, you were a Knight Rider.
Yeah, I did one of those. And not only that, but I got to work with Ron O'Neill, who was super fly.
No.
Come on. Knight Rider, whatever, blah, 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 super fly.
You drive a good bargain there.
That makes me blacker than Sam Jackson.
Nice.
I worked with Superfly.
That's true. I don't know if that makes you blacker or I don't know. Or that's just an awesome.
Oh, it does.
Story.
It makes me way more black than Sam Jackson.
I want to see Robbie on a Quentin Tarantino movie. Then,
yeah.
Hey, I've been talking about that for years. Are you kidding? The what do you call it? The kitsch value of having, you know, hell, put me in a bowl haircut and glasses and kill me. I'm in. Fine. I'll play your little sociological entertainment game. Whatever, sir.
Oh shit! You were in Revenge of the Nerds and Harry and the Hendersons.
They were TV shows.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I was in the Harry and the Hendersons TV show, and then it was a pilot that never went for Revenge of the Nerds that you can get on the Panty Raid edition of. Revenge of the Nerds. So go to Amazon today, and then you can see a not very good pilot of what was actually a pretty funny movie.
Oh, those movies are great, man.
Yes. No, they're hilarious. First yeah, two. No, I played Booger, and like,
oh yeah,
Curtis Armstrong at the time that I did it, and still is one of my heroes. Curtis Armstrong is a really brilliant comedic actor. And so I'm doing this movie and I'm like, or this, you know, pilot. And, you know, if you ask me, the writing is, you know, and I'm like, God, you know, I'm walking into this thing trying to fill shoes that, you know, they're not giving me anything to fill the shoes with. And even then, I don't think I could fucking do it. So, it's not a great pilot, but it is significant because I got to work with Julie McCullough. Do you know who Julie McCullough is?
No.
She was Kurt Cameron's girlfriend on that show that Kurt Cameron was on. And
Growing Pains.
Hold on a second. What?
Yes.
Growing Pains. Thank
you.
It wasn't called that show that Kurt Cameron's on?
That's what I called it. And then Julie was also, she ended up being a Playboy bunny for a while, but nice. She's this really beautiful, really funny woman. She's a stand up now and she's almost too attractive to be funny. Yeah. It's just unbelievable, but she's really, really great. She does a lot of USO shit. And anyway, but yes, I got to work with Julie McCullough. Look her up and you will know why I say I got to work with Julie McCullough.
Mike's on it right now. He's looking it up.
I'm researching.
Yeah.
Research. Well, it's about time you guys jumped into that game.
Yeah. He's researching in the other room with the door
actually,
closed.
Actually, you know, I have a podcast myself called The Spoon. And
really?
At least once an episode, we bring up the fact that we don't research anything. We are completely talking out of our asses every second of every minute of that show.
Hey, he stole our idea.
Yeah.
We do some research, but, you know, we do some to see where you've been and whatnot. But we usually get, like, one idea, and we go after it and just see see if we can get these people on. And right. When we looked you up, I was like, we do this thing, like when we finish a podcast or like we do a couple guests, we'll be like, all right, let's just start spitballing ideas for guests. And it could be like, let's get an astronaut on. Let's get this, that, and that. I was like, let's get the voice of Michelangelo. Sure enough, I just like Google it and then I find you and then I IMDb you and I'm like, holy shit, this guy's done a lot more than just that.
Oh, yeah. And well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff. I mean, the weird thing is I keep stumbling into these things that kind of enter the cultural bloodstream and don't leave. They're like the thing that wouldn't leave. It's like, it's like, if think about how many shows have been on the air since the Brady Bunch, and yet we're still talking about that one.
Yes.
Yes. How many movies have come out since the Turtle movies? A lot. And yet,
and you yet, may be right there. You may be right. We're fact checking that now.
Hold on. Hello, is this Hollywood?
We're
I have
still,
a question.
But we're still talking about it.
Yes.
And you know, I'm on this TV show now called Doc McStuffins that's on Disney
yes,
Junior.
My niece is a gigantic fan.
Yeah. And it turns out that thing is headed for. To be like those other shows as well. I mean, time will tell.
Now, who do you do on that?
I play Stuffy, the blue dragon.
Oh, yes. My niece, I actually bought her a couple of Dr. McStuffin things for her birthday that just passed.
Yeah, it's, I understand that cartoons are created to sell toys. And Doc McStuffins is no different. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere.
You have to go to school. It's okay. Fine.
All right. We still got to get that thing happening. I still don't have it going. Sorry about that. So, yeah, cartoons are, because, you know, I'm actually working on somebody's record right now, too. So that's why I called late, because I was all good. You're the Lizard Queen. I'm all out of, yeah. So, anyhow.
Did you just say you're with the Lizard Queen?
We're working on her animated movie called The Lizard Queen.
Oh. I was going to say, I've never met the Lizard Queen. Put her on. Get off.
Are you kidding?
Get out of there, Cousin Oliver.
Her name is Shay Peyote. You really can't go wrong with Shay. She's a great guest. So anyway, all of that said, cartoons are largely invented to sell toys. And Doc McStuffins is no exception, except for the fact that apparently – it is the first African-American character in a TV show that that white children are buying the toy. I'm not adding importance where there is none there. It is supposedly going to raise a spike in the amount of girls that go into sciences.
Wow.
Because there's a black doctor. I think she's from Boston, maybe.
Yeah,
anyhow,
she's McStuffins.
Jay, there you go. She saw the show one day. Her daughter was watching the show, and you know, female black doctors are like 3% of the population of all of the medical profession. And she was like, "Oh my gosh, here's a little girl who wants to be a doctor." And then she started her own. What do you call it? A little group that sort of raises awareness for young women to go into the sciences. Wow. And because of this show.
That's great.
So they're talking about a rise in the amount of specifically black female doctors, but also just women that are getting interested in science because, you know, we got them at 5.
That's unbelievable. That is something to think about. Like
it is. It is.
And, something you never think about at face value. And then
I have friends who are like kindergarten teachers, and they're hearing from kids that, what do you want to be when you grow up? The answer is usually I want to be a baseball player. I want to be a model, pop singer, actor, any of that shit. That I have teacher friends that are starting to hear, I want to be a doctor like Doc McStuffins.
Wow.
And
wow,
like,
that's great.
Whether they become it or not. I think that's a really good thing to be involved with.
Yep. Well, I am a elementary school teacher actually in real life. But I'm not there. Like I teach fifth grade, but we'll see if You know, like, so, like, it's a little bit younger audience than that, Dr. McStuffins.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see if, like, that interest does continue. It's something for, probably will go into my psyche and kind of think about a little bit over the years.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I mean, gosh, I sure hope it's true. Well, I mean, you know, ultimately we will see. But, again, I mean, it's a huge selling toy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, where they're kind of talking about possibly another year of it, which most Disney shows they've given up on it by now.
Yeah.
So Doc McStuffins is actually Brady Bunch, Turtles, all of these things that I've been in. I'm actually most proud of Doc McStuffins.
You're more proud of that than the big ninja rise in the 90s where every boy wanted to be a ninja.
You know, I mean, I was pretty proud of it back then. Don't get me wrong. And maybe it's just every decade I need something new to be proud of. But, you know, I was like, that was my 90s proud. OK, that's old news. This is my new proud.
I remember when I told my parents I wanted to be a ninja and they yelled at me, go ninja, go.
I messed up. I said I wanted to be a turtle and they're like, he's retarded.
turtle.
But like, even though it is old news, we got to talk about the Ninja Turtles.
Whatever you want.
A little bit, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, that movie like was a big, gigantic part of my childhood. And obviously it was humongous and still finds new versions, new cartoons, new movies. And it's still part of the fabric of America.
I'm in the new Turtle cartoon also. I'm Mondo Gecko in the new Turtle cartoon.
Ah, those were like the Gecko friends that were kind of like the Turtles, right?
The Mutanimals.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So... You started to get a lot of voice work, over just acting. So you started to do a lot of voice work. So how did you get into the Ninja Turtles?
Well, when I was a young person, I mutated into an old person. I was with an agency that had a young people's department, mm-hmm. and then it also had a commercial, print, and voiceover departments. And whenever they needed young voices, they'd go down to the young people's department and call us upstairs, and you know, we'd read the scripts. And I started picking up more voiceover jobs. Like, you know, I was starting to pick up less on-camera stuff, and more voiceover jobs were coming my way. And I was like, this is a really wonderful development, because voiceover, largely the longest you're ever there, like a cartoon, usually a cartoon session is 4 hours and then you're out of there.
Okay.
If you're doing a commercial, you're out of there in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For a guy who has the level of ADHD that I do, this is an ideal situation. You know, it is over quickly. I can get on to the next activity, whatever it is. And I just started picking up a lot of voiceover. And then I had known about the turtle thing because I was in a band with a guy who was a big comic book dude. And in like 88, he showed me one of the original turtle comics. You know, it was in black and white. It was super dark and really violent. And then they made a cartoon out of it, which I didn't realize was on because I wasn't watching a lot of television at the time. And so I read for the movie and I was like, this is going to be a kid's movie? That was an awfully dark comic book that I read. And I didn't know that the cartoon had happened, you know, so which kind of softened all the edges.
Yep.
So they ended up going, I guess, but there was actually talk while we were doing the movie, like one of the production managers, you know, I just overheard some scuttlebutt that they were really concerned that the movie was actually going to be too dark for kids.
Okay.
Mm.
And boy, were they wrong. I mean, it's, you know, it's a funny thing, though. Never underestimate young people. You know, they can handle way more shit than you think they can.
I agree.
They're way smarter.
100%.
They're way smarter than we give them credit for. I mean, it's that was one of the problems they had selling Doc McStuffins, because Chris Nee, the creator, said, I kind of want to make it Cheers for kids. And
Cheers for kids.
There's these regular characters and, you know, we explore these characters' lives and they're like, kids are not going to get that. She's like, I have a kid. They're going to get it. You know, it's just, it's amazing that, you know, everybody just thinks, you know, their audience, especially when it comes to young people, they're just dumb. And they don't get dumb until they can buy Twilight books. We know that. they don't get dumb until, you know, they have a teen idol they can hang on their wall.
Yeah.
Now, when you do this voiceover work, do you have access to like the actual like animation or the video, or is it just pretty much here's the script?
It depends. If it's anime, which is dialogue replacement, the cartoon's already done, so I'm just acting over the Japanese. For cartoons, they usually do the script first, and then they animate to whatever audio they have.
So the Ninja Turtles. So you get the gig.
That was an automatic dialogue replacement thing. That was, I had to act over the puppeteer's performance.
Okay, it was there first, and you had to kind of insert it.
Yeah. Yes. And I also have, because, you know, the puppeteers, the masks were attached to their faces. So when they would move their jaws, the turtles' mouths would move. You know, okay, it was a remote control thing. And so to match the lip flaps, I had to hear the puppeteer's performance in my ear. So I have to think and do one thing while listening to somebody else do the same thing, but not the way that I do it.
It's interesting. Yeah. So are you watching that on screen?
Yeah, there's a, okay. It's like, yeah, it's called automatic dialogue replacement. They do like, you know, usually a line at a time, and there's three beeps. And then on the imaginary fourth beep, you say the line.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So you struck gold here. You got, you arguably the coolest turtle that everyone recognizes. Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
You bring, weird. You know, Michelangelo brings the party to the pack, you know, like he brings the California surfer guy kind of thing. Uh-huh. Now, how did that develop? Like, where did they say to you, like,
well,
this is what
they said
you to
they want? They said they wanted a surfer. Okay. And I was, you know, I mean, that's a luck job for me because I graduated high school in 1982. Mm-hmm. 1982 was the year that Valley Girl broke.
Mm-hmm. Like Ridgemont High.
Ridgemont High. All of that stuff came out. Basically, surf speak came of age when I graduated high school.
Okay.
And so I used to make fun of those guys. I was like, oh, dude, you totally get up at like 4 a.m. and sit on the sand and wait for the right wave.
You know what's weird right now? Huh? Hold on. Like, I have this, now that we turn like the Skype camera off too, I have this, when you talk like that, I feel like I'm talking to my like turtle, like icon. Like, I just pictured you saying that to me.
But he turned
speaking
off the
in
camera,
Skype
he
in like full turtle outfit.
Yeah. So, but the thing was, I mean, I learned how to do that accent basically by making fun of all the stoners at my school.
Right.
And then they said they wanted a surfer, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just try one of those guys. So, you know, and the rest is whatever the rest is.
Yeah. So what was that experience like? Like, did you, you know, the movie obviously was a hit. They went on to make 3, and I know you were in all 3. I think you were the only turtle to be in.
I'm the only turtle in all 3.
And what was it like? Like, obviously, there's no, like, people worship the turtles, but they don't recognize you on the street and whatnot. But you were, like, the voice that brought that into people's households and on the movie screen.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm also attached to other things.
Right.
So there's been a lot of like, you know, oh my God, so you're the guy from the Brady Bunch and that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, if anytime somebody, you know, talks to me about it, you know, they're like, what have you been in? I mean, I bring up the 3 big ones. I bring up Brady Bunch, I bring up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I bring up the new cartoon. And invariably people just lose their minds over it. It's hilarious.
I'm kind of doing the same thing right now. Like, what's kind of funny is like just looking through your IMDb, even though there are like maybe like TV series, and like you've covered a lot of things that I've loved in my life. Batman, you've been in things like Revenge of the Nerds, Harry the Henderson's Extreme Ghostbusters. You've been in a lot of things that I identify with.
I mean, like the weirdest two that I looked at that I can somewhat identify. As weird as it sounds, I remember the Munsters today.
Yeah, sure.
I remember that in the syndicated days and all.
I think it's on YouTube. Check it out, because the character I play is basically Michelangelo.
Michelangelo meets the Munsters. Wasn't that a movie?
For a while there, you know, I had really long blonde hair, and yeah, I just looked like a surfer stoner guy. So with that, like, there was a period in there where it's like, we need a surfer stoner guy. Where's Wrist? You know. So like, yeah, I mean, in Harry and the Hendersons, I basically do a version of the surfer accent, although that one's a little bit more punk rock. I got a mohawk in it. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And one other recent one, I mean, I'm a big fan of his internet series, The Angry Video Game Nerd. His movie, that movie was beautiful, man.
James Rolfe is a genius. I love that guy. I can't wait to do so. He asked me to do something with him again, and I screwed it up somehow, because, you know, that's kind of what I do. That's my career. But I want to work with the guy again. I thought the movie was hilarious, and every penny of it was up there. You could just tell they were just like, when they were done, there was no extra money. It was all up there.
Oh yeah, they did an incredible job. I saw it in at the Colonial down in PA. It was just a great crowd, and it was just so nice to see a movie with just like generic, you know, props, and you can tell how much hard work they put into that damn thing.
Oh, I mean, and I think everything is practical. Everything,
exactly.
There's no CG effects in that movie.
Exactly.
I don't think there are. And I mean, and that means, though, that the guy who has a tank for a lower half, you can tell he's walking. But it's brilliant. You totally go with it. I just, yeah. Actually, the reason I contacted James was because he did a review of the third Turtle movie
that is
one of the funniest things I've ever seen in
Turtle
my life.
In Time.
So, yeah. And he did it for Screw Attack, I think, for some old website. Yep. And yeah, it's on YouTube. Check it out. Just, I mean, whether you like turtles or not, it is one of the funniest reviews of anything I've ever seen. And I love, because really, James Rolfe isn't even like that. When I first met him, I didn't know that was him. I'm like, so when's James getting here? He goes, I am James. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Hi. Oh. Once again, there's my career right there in a nutshell. That describes all of it.
Robbie, you are not only an actor, you are a musician too.
Yeah.
What do you play?
Everything.
Everything.
Well, everything. I'm a drummer, bass player, guitar player, somewhat piano player, mandolin player, somewhat banjo player,
awesome.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, so I consider myself that too. I play a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I'm not good at any of it, but I play a lot.
I play a little bit of nothing.
Like, we're like kindred spirits here. I'm pretty much bad at everything besides maybe bass, but everything else I just kind of like have fun with.
Yeah, well, actually, the truth of the matter is I bat to all fields with pretty much equal accuracy. I'm actually not a terrible any of them. I mean, I've worked, how do I, you know, without, you know, whatever. I mean, I've gotten paid for doing all of them.
Nice.
You know, so I've shown up. I've definitely shown up for work. Yeah, it's you guys were talking about Alf Bartone.
Yep.
So I play in a band with these two guys who were in two separate sort of punk bands in the 90s. One was called Game Face and the other one was called Farside.
I remember Farside, I think.
Okay.
Was it spelled differently?
Well, there's two of them. There's a rap one also.
Oh, okay.
That's P-H-A-R.
P-H-A-R.
This is actually F-A-R.
All right.
So these two guys, and they still have something of a following in New Jersey. And so they went and did like a weekend's worth of, you know, 4 or 5 days worth of shows out that way. And the crowd of people who went to hang out with these guys were among the most fun human beings I have ever encountered in my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Everybody was cool. I mean, you know, a bunch of them were in bands, but not all of them. And all the bands were great. And yeah, I had a ball there. I actually got I actually got a tattoo with some of those people while I was there.
Nice.
Yeah, and I only have two, so.
That's awesome. So you you do a lot of different things, obviously.
I also, you know, for the music thing, any time in any of the Sharknado movies that you hear a pop song being played, it's me and the director.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we wrote the theme song to Sharknado.
You are like in the underground of people's psyche that they don't even know. You know, like you have like a little hand in something of like things that people are into, but you would never know. You know,
I like making stuff.
Yes,
it's truth of the matter. I mean, since I was a kid, I've only made art. You know, mm-hmm. I mean that's all I've ever really done. I had a job for a while. I built booths at the NAMM show.
NAMM show, is that like?
Yeah, the North American Music Merchants Association.
See, I was just thinking about like a bunch of NAMM veterans, like.
Yeah, no, a whole other thing.
That's a scary show.
It was just, you go to a, you know, what do you go, convention center and you build booths all day. So I did that for a bit. And then I had a job at a movie theater for a little while. And then I was a recording engineer for a rich content website in the late 90s. So other than that, it's been strictly art. So all I do all the time is I try to find new ways of making art and hopefully occasionally get paid for it.
So where are you living right now? Where are you at?
In the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, okay.
In Los Angeles. Yeah.
Nice. So you balance your life. You got a lot of different things going on: acting, voiceover work, music, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you found a way to make a living through it. And you're hitting on things. Like I said, your resume has a lot of things like that people just love. Like they just love, whether it's like you said, children, whether it's like you said, big adults that don't know how to grow up like myself. And just like a lot of little niche, but things that like are in the bloodline of America. And it's like, that's pretty cool to think about.
It is weird. I think about that with some frequency that I've been, I'm not terrible at what I do. I mean, I worked really hard to, you know, be a decent art person, whatever, right. But there's other great people at it too. And for some reason I keep stumbling into these things. And I mean, I say all the time how lucky I am. Yes. I mean, I really am aware of the fact of how lucky I am all of the time.
It's just really cool to like hear. Now, when we were when I contacted you a couple months ago, you said you were going away for like a month and a half, 2 months.
I was going away for a month. Yeah, I went to Spain.
You said you were doing some work over there.
Yeah, I play with a bunch of bands just off and on, you know, because mostly we're all old people. So, you know, who has the time to do it all of the time?
Right.
But some of the people that I work with, you know, sort of can get free time away. And one I play with this band called The Mockers. They're from Virginia and New York. And like once every year or so, we do a trip to Spain and we, you know, play there. There's enough audience there that they can do, you know, a month's worth of shows, you know, 25 or so shows, and people will show up for them. So myself and the other guitar player, we just got back and we did an acoustic tour. We did 21 shows in 30 days.
Awesome.
It was really terrific. And we saw pretty much the entire country. I mean, it's the size of Texas, but, you know, we saw the entire country.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing, I don't know if you've ever been to Spain, but like different parts of Spain, like I always say, if you get sick of looking out the window at Spain, wait 2 hours, because in 2 hours there's going to be a whole other Spain to look at.
It's true.
Yeah, it becomes like mountain to desert, like in like no time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really great. Yeah, I mean, so we are I'm in the middle of producing a band called Susie and Los Cuatro from Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So like I'm starting to get sort of, you know, I'm starting to get some hooks in the ground there. And, you know, eventually we see how it goes. But I think I would eventually like to split my time.
Between acting and music.
Between Spain and America.
Oh, nice.
And, and maybe even do some acting there. You know, there's an actor there named Santiago Segura, and apparently when I have really long hair, everywhere I go in Spain, people call me Santiago, which is funny because I look very German.
Santiago.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much look at Wilford Brimley. That's kind of where I'm headed.
So what's is there any art form you're kind of leaning towards to, or is there a field you kind of want to get your feet into? What's next for Robbie?
You know, I don't know. What do you got? What are we doing? Let's go chase a cat. Let's go chase a cat, Spike.
You want to be the third member of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I have. There's a whole bunch of little art projects that I want to get off the ground. You know, it's just a question of time and money. You know, I've written a whole bunch of episodes for a little noir miniseries thing. I got, you know, movie stuff I'd like to do. I just have to, you know, I'm not in a position where I can just kind of get into an office and talk to those people yet. So, I don't know. I just want to make more shit. Let's awesome. Go.
Wake up and create. That's
yeah, totally. I mean, you know, if James Rolfe wants to do another movie, I say he and I, buddy movie, angry video game nerd and cousin Oliver save the day.
Awesome. Saves Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, Robbie, if people want to, like, go check you out, they want to, I mean, obviously you got a million things going on, but if they want to get in touch with you or see what's going on with you, where can they go?
I have the requisite Facebook page, of course. I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
I have a YouTube channel.
No, your Twitter. Your Twitter's got to be like Robbie Wrist. You're like trash something, something, something.
Yeah, you know. I don't want to make it too easy on anybody.
I was like, oh, is this his AOL name from the...
it actually is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm one of the only people left on AOL. Sometimes on America Online, I'll go, hello. And I never hear anything back.
Damn Time Warner.
All right. Where else do we go?
God. So like I said, Facebook page. I mean, I'm, you know, and usually if I'm in front of my computer and Facebook is open, I talk to people all the time. I'm, you know, I think in social media world, you know, sort of keeping open communication with the people who like your stuff is a good idea.
Absolutely. Especially since it's available. It's not snail mail like in the 70s, you know, you can actually tell someone like, hey, thank you.
Oh, like how the hell would you guys know? You're both 11.
Well, not him.
plus 28. So, yeah.
28? Did I hear that right? 28? You're fucking children.
No.
I'm on a kid
show. He said plus 28.
Plus 28. Oh,
so
I don't know what that is.
What are you?
39.
39. I'm 31.
Oh, God, you're children. Oh. I'm on a kid show.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is it creepy that we watch the
kid
show?
Yeah, will we be bringing out the crayons later, gentlemen?
We need a dragon to help us.
So anywhere else that we should check out? Your band?
I think that's pretty good. I mean, I got a band camp site. I think I got a Reverb Nation site.
Yeah, for Bandcamp, I got here yourfavoritetrainwreck.bandcamp.com.
Well, there's one with my name, too, which Robbie Wrist, where Your Favorite Train Wreck is. But, yeah, the train wreck stuff is up there. I mean, there's a, you know, I mean, just do a Google search. It's way easier. And then you get to stumble on something new and exciting, you know. On YouTube, there's a commercial I did in 1972 where you can really see the genesis of my very purposeful walk.
Well, Robbie, you've been thanks for coming on first.
I'm sorry that it, you know, took so long to make it happen, but you know,
doesn't matter.
Life is weird,
dude. It doesn't matter. Like we, you know, it's always kind of like we just kind of. Throw our feelers out there and hope it works out. And it definitely did work out.
Yep.
And it was awesome.
Yes.
We'd love to have you back on in the future if you got future projects. I got one more favor for you.
By the way, let me know when this runs so I can.
It'll probably. What's today? Today is Tuesday. It'll probably be up like Sunday night, and I'll tweet it out to you.
Yeah. By all means, and then I'll put it up on my site and all that.
I have one more favor for you. Can you do a little bumper saying you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans Show, but can you do it as Michelangelo?
Of course.
Or the dragon from Dr. Stuffins.
By the way, my question is, Verbal Shenanigans, are you on a particular...
iTunes, Stitcher.
You're on all those?
Every single one you could think of, Podbean, gotcha. All those.
Cool. All right. Yes. All right, so tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Hey, this is Michelangelo, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle here, to let you know that you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Oh, that's like because they're shenanigan-y and they're verbal.
Oh, that's like gold. Like you just sent like a shiver down my spine. Like a holy shit. Like life is. I'm doing something right.
Well, let me do a stuffy too. Then
I'm gonna send this to my niece too tonight.
Yes. So. Okay. All right.
Actually, I'm gonna ask you to do two favors. Do the Verbal Shenanigans, and then I'll do another one not on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. Okay. Let's see here. What am I gonna say? All right.
Hi, everybody. Stuffy from Doc McStuffins here, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans!
Excellent. Oh, my God, Robbie.
One for Scott Brennan.
Do one for me as Michelangelo, and he...
With the dragon.
And he needs a friend, and it's me. No.
And you're also Bugger from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, see, I mean, really, once it starts, we're going to be here all night.
I can't wait to send that to my niece. That's going to be awesome. Right on. But sure. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I wish you all the best with all the
stuff
you got going on.
My pleasure. Yeah, and like I said, let me know when it runs, and I'll put it up on all the requisite pages and stuff.
Appreciate it, Robin.
Absolutely, and great time, and good luck.
Yeah, it was fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, man.
Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, we are back. Robbie Wrist, man, what did you think?
Not bad.
Not tab?
Yeah. No, he's not like the old Coca-Cola... non-caffeine soda at all. You don't remember Tab?
I do.
Okay. You called it out. I had to finish it out somehow. That's called improv.
Yeah. I get that. But, almost like Ninja Turtles. Really interesting guy because...
Very
just
laid
a
back,
ball full of energy though.
Oh yeah,
you know, like oh my god, like he's like just he's got so much to talk about. I feel like we could have gone for another hour like with him and talked about like all. There's so many other things in his resume that we didn't even get to. But
and he wasn't like off limits. I mean, I wasn't saying, like some of these people like you bring up their old characters. I've answered this question 8,000 times. Whatever. I mean, he just. Laughs it off and oh yeah, I'm on the streets. Hey, your cousin Oliver. Hey, you're Michelangelo. Hey, you're the dragon.
I think sometimes you just have to be appreciative of what got you or what's bigger gig. Of course, he can create all his art and music and stuff, but those are the things that get you some notoriety. And I mean,
ain't shabby. Just be like, you know what? I'm going to Spain for 2 weeks. I know a guy who has a band.
Yeah,
we'll tour around.
Yeah, but I thought it was a really awesome interview.
Real fun.
Did you have anything else today?
Nothing that has to go today.
I think we should save it because that was about 40 something minutes or so plus our intro. Anything to promote?
Since we talked about stuff, I will bring up my
did
buddy.
We talk about stuff today again? We stuff always have things. The same topic. We always talk about stuff
and things. Well, from the stuff that I was talked with Robbie about, my buddy Al Bartone, he has a band, Damn This Desert Air. If you want to learn more about
their cool name.
Yep. If you want to learn more about them, their Facebook site is facebook.com/ Damn This Desert Air. Another one I'll promote, as we talked about the Angry Video Game Nerd movie, one of my favorite sites, James Rolfe's site is cinemasker.com. You can go on there for his Angry Video Game Nerd videos or to also order the Angry Video Game Nerd movie, which Robbie supplied the voice of the alien who was E.T.
Robbie's got like his hands in everything, which is just very cool. I will promote one show. December 12th, I will be at the Venetian. The Venetian. It's a Rocco Romeo show. So I'll be at the Venetian. But yeah, I think that'll bring us to the end here. Keep following us on Stitcher and iTunes. Go check out Robbie. Go check out Wolf Nation. Go check out DraftKings. And
support us on Patreon.
Yes. Yep. Yep. If you could even donate a dollar, that'd be great.
You can donate more than a dollar. That's like double great.
Double great. Double great. But yeah, we started a little slow tonight, but things picked up quickly, and it's good to be back. And look out for that hack-o-lantern. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Get you, turtles. Heroes in a half shell.